If you participate in a fall sport, come on up here. I know you're all here.
Maisie, Ryan, you, Bo, Jax, oh, Brody, nice. So, these guys are going to give the message today. They didn't know it. I'm teasing. I just think it's important that we understand the impact we have as a church in our community. You know, these young people are out there every day. There's more. You don't do anything. The basketball's coming. Nikki's son is in junior high as well. He plays football. Savannah's not in junior high, right? Sixth grade. Gabby's in junior high, eighth grade volleyball, right? Okay. So I'm just going to go through. They're finishing their fall sports right now. Most of these kids will play basketball, or we don't have any wrestlers. But you don't wrestle, do you? You're a basketball guy. Brenna, you don't wrestle. Okay. So these kids all go through it, and Brody played seventh grade football, but I think also you played some eighth grade football at the end. Is that correct? Yeah. So he's done. Have you started basketball yet? A couple weeks. Oh, you're not doing basketball? No. I know some other kids I wish wouldn't play basketball. They're girls. And they're softball players, but they're playing basketball. So Brody is done with football. You play baseball? Yeah. He'll play junior high baseball in the spring. And I know that makes an impact with what he does on the football field as well as in the school. Brenna just finished eighth grade volleyball. So Brenna is going, Dwayne, you are getting old, my friend. Where is he? Sick. So Dwayne, next year, will have a junior and a freshman, both play volleyball. Abby plays volleyball. She's a sophomore. She'll play basketball as well and runs track. You run track as well. Yeah. So Brenna is going to be in basketball starting in 2 weeks. I don't know these two apart. Yeah, I do. Maisie is a junior. Yes. And Ryan is a sophomore. Gabby is a eighth grader. She plays eighth grade volleyball. These two run cross country for Northmore. Yesterday they qualified to go to the regional meet, correct? I believe Maisie finished 10th. No? No. 17th out of whatever. But they qualified as a team to go on and run next week at the regionals, and that's a big deal. I don't understand cross-country kids. I never will. Because if you make me run, I'm not going to like you. So, but they do a great job. All right, now you two clowns, get up here. Come here, Bo. These two guys, I talked about these guys a couple weeks ago. I'm going to talk about them again. I did LLC, the Ketch Brothers. I have shirts ordered. Jackson, Bo, and myself will all wear those one day. They're three of a kind. So I got to make sure there's a time when they're here so I can present their shirts. Because, listen, even on Friday night, it's pouring down rain. It was miserable. You know, Jackson slides across the field, makes an interception early in the game, then catches a touchdown. Bo catches a touchdown on a great catch. Both of them were great catches. Gets called back because we have a penalty. So they are going on. They finished the season 8-2. They're going on. They play a home game this Friday night in the playoffs. And we're not going to talk about further than that. But I will tell you they earned the right that if they win, they go on and play another home game. So that's pretty cool. They have the chance to become the winningest, tie the record for the winningest football team at Northmore. These two also play basketball. The basketball coach, even though he's our athletic director and wants the football team to do well, really wants these two to start practice when they're supposed to, it's not going to happen. So I just want the church to know that your kids are out there. They're making a difference. We have some that aren't here as well. Nolan Miller is an 8th grade football player as well. 7th, 8th. So he'll be a freshman. We just have a lot going on with our kids. And I wanted to publicly thank you as a church for giving them a start. Because they are out there making a difference now, showing your light. They are the future of the church, whether it be this church or another church. And they're going to draw back on some of that stuff that you as a church have shown them over their years. So I'm done with the kids for now. Thank you guys for appeasing the old man. Jackson Bell, I'll get you guys your shirts. I'll lead into that. That all leads into the message today, the calling. You know, we are called to do different things in life. And each one of these kids up here has a different purpose and has a different calling that they feel led to. Again, the Brinkman girls, I'll never understand. When you have the chance between hitting a volleyball and running 10 miles at practice, I just don't get it. But that's their calling. They're good at what they do. Whatever. And as I was sitting in church last week, God just laid, Matt, you know Christmas is coming. The birth of your Savior is coming. And Julie almost passed out. I almost had to pick her up off the floor. Because at the end of the message last week before I left, I gave her the message title for this week. And in fact, yesterday I saw Julie and she said, Matt, how many times have you changed the message? I said, no, it's the same. So the title of the message, and I was kind of worried. And this morning I was talking to Jen, and she said, you know, Tim put a Christmas tree up yesterday, and he did it for no other reason. I said, man, Christmas already? And she said, yeah, he did it because he wanted to see me smile, because he knows I love Christmas, and I haven't smiled for a while. Jenny's going through a lot with her dad. Keep her in prayers. It's hard. She knows that God's in charge, and His timing sometimes is not perfect for us, but it's always perfect for Him. So just keep that Cooper Ryder family in your prayers as we move on. So the title of the message is The Calling. And we're going to use the passage Luke 1, 26 through 55. And as I brought the young kids up today, we're going to talk about a young lady here today that has had a calling. And she wasn't much older than some of these kids today. In fact, I in my studies this week, because I had a message and I had scripture, I was able to dig a little bit. Anybody know how old Mary was when Jesus died? Anybody? Everything that I've read and studied said she was between 45 and 49. Okay? Now, if we take the light side of 45, you know, I'm 51, okay? And I can't imagine seeing one of my kids die. It's awful. She's 49, 45. If she was 45, we can deduct how old she was when Jesus was born. He was 30, 32, 33, so she was 13, 14. If she was 49, which I tend to believe she was of the older age, around 49, that puts her at 17, 16 when Jesus was born, and that's where I believe she was. Okay, so we're talking about a teenage girl having the Savior of all mankind. That was her calling. Before we get into this, I'm going to go to prayer. Dear Lord, I know this is a message you want to be presented, Lord. I just hope that you give me all the words, and I pray that you shut my mind down and just let me be the mouthpiece for you, Lord. I ask that you let the audience have ears to hear that the message that you want them to hear today, Lord, and we apply it to our lives every day and show your love. In your name I pray. Amen. So when I was thinking about this today, and Bruce and Mabel showed up today, and, you know, is anybody in a job that they think they were actually called to do? No? Probably you teachers probably do. Dwayne probably does. Jesse, Les. Man, I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm where God wants me to be, but I don't really know if it's what I'm called to do. Well, I can tell you that when I was here and listened to Bruce talk, and he sat a chair right here, and he could tell you 50 years of his work. That's a calling. He didn't have notes. He didn't have anything. He sat here and he recollected with us that day 50 years. That, my friends, is a calling. Okay? Let's get dig in here. In Luke, and we know the birth of Jesus was foretold. I mean, it. But here we're going to get into it in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So in those first few verses there, for those that don't know, Elizabeth was a cousin who got pregnant when she was 90. Hello, Kelly. Still can happen. Still can happen. Right? She was in her elderly stage. She was not thinking about having kids. She was, but she did. She was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. So we have the high end of the pregnancy, and then we have a virgin pledged to be married that an angel is coming to tell, hey, guess what? You're pregnant. Okay? Now, I've raised three daughters. They're all in their out of teens. They're all working now. They're all whatever. They have their own lives. And that's hard. But we don't know a lot about Mary's life until this moment. Until this moment. And there's probably people a lot smarter than me here. Do we know who Mary was? Do we know who her parents were? I couldn't find where we did. It doesn't say here. Hey, she was a son of Eliezer or whoever. It just says to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. So there's the promise God made that Savior was coming out of the house of David, right? There it is. Joseph was a descendant of David. So this all ties back to the Old Testament. And it's pretty cool. Let's move on. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, if, and I'll use Brenna here, you're about what, 14? Yeah, 13. So if Brenna, what happens if an angel comes to you and says, "Guess what, you're highly favored. I'm going to give you a child." What are you going to do? You don't know. I can tell you what I would have done at 13. I'd have been scared to death. I'd have ran and hid. There's no way I'm ready for that, Lord. Let's read on. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So we know Mary, she's scared. She's a teenager. She's scared. She don't even know yet what she really has to be scared about. Because, I mean, she knows that she's going to be pregnant, and she's found favor in God. "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Ever. His kingdom will never end." So this just got real for Mary. Okay? There's a few things that are hard for Mary to comprehend. First and foremost, she's a virgin. Secondly, that she found favor in God. But now she's being told she is going to be the mother to the guy that has an eternal kingdom. You talk about some pressure. You know, when Chris and I found out we were pregnant, we were just hoping, man, I hope, you know, somebody said, "Well, what do you want?" "Well, I hope there's 5 fingers or 10 fingers and 10 toes and everything works the way it's supposed to be." I didn't care boy. I didn't care girl. I just wanted everybody to be good. That's still questionable on some of them, on at least 2 of the 3. Okay? But for the most part, they're pretty good. But can you imagine finding out you're pregnant and being told, "Guess what? You've got the Father of the world that you are going to be responsible for growing." I'm 51. I don't think I would want that pressure. She's 15. "But he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary's response, I don't know. I kind of go through this in my mind and I think, you know, what was Mary really like? My guess is Mary was just this meek and mild, quiet. And she says, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Now, if an angel appears to me, number one, I'm going to be messed up for a while. I mean, I have dreams that I don't remember most of, but I've never even dreamt that an angel appeared to me. Can you imagine being fully awake and having an angel come down and sit beside you and say, "Hey, guess what?" So the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month, for no word from God will ever fail." So that's just reaffirming to Mary everything that was going to happen. And we all know Elizabeth did give birth, and we know that person to be who? Anybody? John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, his job was to do what? He went out and preached of the coming Messiah. who was just a few months younger than him. That's pretty cool. But here's the crux of the whole message today. Verse 38. Remember, this is a teenage girl. Quote, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, when we get a calling, sometimes there was other people in the Bible that received a calling to do certain things. And what did they do? They tried to reason through why they couldn't do it, right? But at the end of the day, a lot of them did it. And we can go through that list. I mean, it's Moses, it's Noah. Build the ark in the middle of a drought, Noah. You know what? He did it. You know, Moses, go lead these 10 million people out of Egypt where they've been in bondage for 400 years. Moses tried his darndest to say, no, not me, Lord. Not me, Lord. The disciples, they're a great example of a calling. You know, these dudes are out fishing. And Jesus said, "Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." What do? They threw their nets down and went. You know, and those are all neat stories. Those are all great. This is a teenage girl. "I am the Lord's servant." That's a calling, y'all. Then the angel left her. In verse 39, "At the time Mary got ready and hurried to a town on the hill of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her.'" Now, we've all felt, I haven't. This is not a pregnancy belly. This is just me being chubby. But when our wives or our daughters or our ma or our sisters or our aunts or whoever's pregnant, we've all had that one time when they say, "Hey, come here, put your hand right here." And we feel the baby kick, right? Or the baby punch the side or whatever it is. Can you imagine Elizabeth? The baby jumped for joy. You know, there was times when during Chris's pregnancy when she said, "Man, this dude is just going nuts in there." Well, that was Shelby. She still can't sit still for more than 2 minutes. You know, Lindsay and Morgan, they took a nap 9 months till they got out. But we never experienced a baby jumping for joy. And what does it say it did to Elizabeth? It filled her with the Holy Spirit. Guys, we accept God's call, it fills us with the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until Elizabeth knew Mary accepted God's call that she was filled. And then here's in verses 46 through 55, this is Mary's response. It's Mary's song. This is Mary's response to everything that was going on in her life. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So Mary came from very humble beginnings, very humble surroundings she was in. You know, there's nothing special about Mary. Throughout the scriptures, God could have used really special people, kings, queens, rulers, whatever, to do His task. He didn't. He used humble people that understood the power of God. You know, when those disciples threw their nets down and walked away from their careers, He knew that they would do that. But here's a 15-year-old girl, and I'm going to call her 15. We could argue that she's 13, we could argue that she's 19, whatever. I'm going to call her 15. And her response to something that should have blown her mind was that my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So my challenge to you all is this, and it's a challenge to me because there's still things in my life that I feel God tugging at that I just don't know. Because I'm not a planner, but I like to know the end result. And shame on me, because I know the end result. I'm going to be with Him again someday, forever. What else am I got to be scared of? And we've said it before, from the mouths of babes. Here's the perfect example. Mary was thrown a lot. She was thrown a lot. But you know what the first thing she didn't do? She didn't question it. Well, she did right at the beginning, but then the angel said, listen, you have found favor with God. And that's all we need to know. So if you got something in your life that you feel God's pulling at, man, that's a perfect passage right there to live your life by. And it hits home with me because there's still a couple things that, you know, I mean, I'll tell you my history. I wanted to be a school teacher, okay? When I got out of high school, there was no decision to make. And I thought God was calling me to that because I really like sports and I want to do sports forever, so I want to coach. So in order to do that, I have to teach. About 2 years into that, God said, no. And He opened up a door for me to go into grocery retail management. And I had to make a decision, and I took God's prodding in that. And then Chris and I got married, had Shelby, and I understood why. And then He opened up an opportunity for me to come back to the community because I was in New Philadelphia. I was in Mansfield with a big corporation, yada, yada, yada. he opened up the opportunity for me to come manage the Save-A-Lot in Mount Gilead and get more involved in the community, and I did. And about halfway, well, after about 7 years of that, he said, hey, I got one more opportunity for you. I was like, God, I'm pretty happy right here. I got a nice little store. I can write my own schedule. I can do what I want. No, Matt, here's what I want. And the pie was sweetened because it was weekends off. It was out of retail world. I didn't have to work nights. I didn't have to work weekends. I was able to see my kids grow and develop in whatever they chose to do. And I started working for Coca-Cola. And I've been there 16 years. And I love my job, sort of. But I don't know that it's my calling. And I'm still fighting and clawing and scratching, and I don't know what that is yet. God brought Chris and I here to this church, and I became an elder in the church, and I thought, okay, that's my calling, and I don't know, because I'm not perfect at all, not even close. There's probably 50 people here closer to being perfect than me. But you know what I do have? I have the knowledge that my Lord and Savior loves me beyond all measure, and I know that I'm going to spend eternity with Him in heaven. And I can't wait. But if you have that calling, and young people or old people, I don't care. If God's calling you to do something, let's do it. I don't know what it is. He'll make it clear to you what He wants you to do. But every time in my life I thought things were going the way they're supposed to, God said, man, I've used that situation you were in to develop you into something else. Now I need you to do this. And it's taken me here, and I don't know what that is yet. But let's be like Mary. Let's be like Mary and just accept it and move on. Do we really understand? Guys, she is the mother of the Lord of Lords. She is the mother of the guy that's going to lead you to eternity. And she said, yeah, thank you for blessing me, Lord. I'll do it. She didn't kick and scream. If an angel comes and talks to me, I'm going to be, whew, boy, not Mary. Why did I find such favor out of my humble beginnings? Be like Mary. Listen to your calling. Accept your calling. And let God have the rest. Because He wants to take it. He wants to take each and every one of you here today and lead you to something great. So all that's the entrance to Christmas season. You know, we're 2 months away, guys. I know we think that's forever, but it's coming. The birth of our Lord and Savior is coming. And we need to make sure we do our part as Christians. Because every day we're out, we should be thinking and showing people what God's love looks like. He sent His Son to live here on earth perfectly so that He could guarantee us all eternity. And if we can't go out and show that every single day, what are we doing? Right now, that's our calling. We got to take what we learn in here and take it out there. And for some of you, maybe it's more than that. Some of you, maybe it's the path that Bruce and Mabel were on. Some of you young people, maybe you're going to end up a missionary. Maybe you're going to end up in Africa. Maybe you're going to end up somewhere else. We have mission work to do right here in Morrow County, Ohio. for the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we thank you for the calling you've given to each and every one of us to be here today and to hear the message you wanted us to hear. And Lord, just put it on our hearts that we go out and we show your love and your mercy and your eternity to the rest of the world every single day of our life, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to offer a song of invitation. And if you have anything going on in your life that needs